Hello, everybody. It's Elaine, and this is the Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call of very committed attendees and listeners. And it is currently April 27th, 2017, and today we're going to talk about failing forward, which is a very simple and yet very complex conversation. So looking forward to getting into it. Somebody else has joined us, so I've got one more person to check in on the roster. Who else is here?
Hey, it's Amy, Minnesota.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Good. Okay, and I would say if anybody else joins us, let yourself be known, but, you know, they won't hear me. So let's start with check-ins and celebrations and see where we are with taking aim, and then we'll dive into the conversation for today. Who wants to give us a start?
Oh, this is Jane. I will start. I had a variety of things I was trying to think about to celebrate, but one of them just hit me, and it's to celebrate being thankful for Elaine for helping me through trying times with my son.
Aww.
And it's been
thank you.
It's been extremely effective.
I am so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So I really am. I'm really glad because there's been a lot going on. So thank you for that.
And
I'm honored
effective,
to be your celebration.
Yeah. And being effective doesn't mean that the schoolwork's getting done or the grades are getting better or things are, you know, working out perfectly, but it's all good because we can figure it out and, you know, do it, like I said, effectively in the best way for my son's needs.
Yeah,
and that's a
I mean,
good thing.
I get that. Yeah, you're really there's a way in which it may not be perfect, but you're working on the relationship and strengthening the relationship with every complex conversation, and that's huge, and not easy to do.
No, it's not.
No,
but thank
by any
you.
Stretch. Yeah, I appreciate your acknowledgement. Thank you. A couple other people have joined us. We got a full call. So Sandy, I see you're here. Somebody else has joined us as well.
Yeah, this is Lisa.
Lisa, give me a little bit more to go on.
My son's
18. You're not usually in this group, right?
Oh, I'm not. Well, this is the second time. I'm relatively new, so this is the second time that I've been able to participate in
okay.
the call.
So are you 516 area code?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to find the right person on the roster, and since we've got the recording on, I'm trying to also respect your confidentiality and not give your last name. So,
okay.
You're usually in a Friday night group, or the, is that right?
No, again, this is, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Let's not worry about it right now. I've got you in two different groups. That's part of what's going on. So, did I miss anybody else?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You and I will stay on for a minute afterwards, and we'll work through whatever administrative issue we have to deal with.
Okay.
If you can. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a way to mute this on my end so that my background doesn't disturb? Because I keep pressing *0, but nothing happens. You know, to give me the
You have to actually mute your phone.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
And if that doesn't work, then I can mute you, and you can press *2 when you want me to unmute you. But see if it works to just mute your phone first, okay?
All right. I'm going to try. Thank you. Okay. Cool. I didn't mean to
okay.
do that. All right.
So we're going to do – I'm going to encourage everybody to do somewhat quick check-ins and celebrations today, just because I know we've got a really meaty topic to discuss, and there are a number of people on the call. So so Jane's already done a celebration and pointed out very perfectly that just because things are better and it's working doesn't mean everything's great and it's all going perfectly. So, Andrea, what about you? What's your celebration?
I was thinking about it just now, and I guess my celebration is that last time, just yesterday, when my daughter and I were having pretty intense conversation, and she kind of really, she kind of really dumped on me, like she was very angry and kind of took it out on me, that normally it really, really gets to me, but it didn't hurt as much as it usually does.
That's good.
So I guess...
So can I... So do you feel like you weren't taking it as personally as you might have in the past?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Now,
Pamela, what about you?
I guess what I'll say today is I'm grateful that my son is still in contact with me.
Okay. And I hear there's a bittersweet celebration in there, but I respect the gratitude and the acknowledgement of what is working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy, what about you?
Hey, check in. So I'm on my finals weeks here for school, so I'm kind of preoccupied with that.
For yourself?
Yes, for myself. A little stressed.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, I was going to say, not everybody knows you're in school. So.
Yeah, sorry. Right. and a celebration. My partner, who we call stepdad in this house, actually complimented my son on something. Which was monumental because it kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't ask. It was truly a big leap forward in our household. So.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah,
I also want to celebrate that you're in finals week and you're on this call.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's not easy to do. So.
Love it.
Andrea, what about you?
Well, you used the word bittersweet with somebody else on this call. So my celebration is also somewhat bittersweet, I would say, in my ex-husband acknowledging finally that, you know, we need to go about things a lot differently with our son you know, help him succeed and be successful in school. So
that's exciting, actually.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I had to share because I was speaking last night in here in Virginia, because I'm here for the coaches conference, and there was a woman on the side of the room who literally was crying the entire time. I mean, it was so sad, and it became really clear what she was crying about was that she has ADHD, her kids have ADHD, and she's really fine with that, but her partner does not accept it at all, and that's such a hard place to be. So, you know, this is a huge step forward. Really huge.
Well, it's one thing for him to acknowledge, and I know that's the first step, but now it's roll up your sleeves and work.
But celebrate. Do you have Sanity School? Do you have access to it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so if you ask us if he's up to it, we're happy to put him on the list and give him his own access to it.
All right. Good to know. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Sandy, what about you? Bottom line celebration.
Last week I was home alone with my kids, and my husband was traveling, and it was actually a pretty low key and peaceful week. It was really good. We didn't make it to school on time for one day during the whole week, but aside from that, it was good in terms of like just communicating and my daughter, I think, as you know, she's been going through a super tough time, but she actually like slept in my bed. She did sleep over the entire week, which was unusual, and decided to chat late
great
at night
bonding. Yeah,
but it was good. It was good.
That is good. Awesome. Lisa, what about you? Are you muted? Or are you there?
Okay.
Yes. A lot of celebrations, but
bottom line, one for us.
One. I'm working on buy-in. He bought in, and he actually followed through on what he agreed to do, and it was wonderful.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it really is.
That's awesome. Did he get some sort of reward, recognition, acknowledgement, you know, like?
Oh, absolutely. Acknowledgement,
awesome.
100%. Yeah.
Awesome. Super, super. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So I love that. And what I love is that you had to choose one of many, and that's a great place to be. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's, while you've got the mic, do you know what you want to take aim on this week?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you talking? Okay, because it's not. I can't hear you that well, and I don't know why. If it's, if I use the Maplin County number, but accepting, coming to the acceptance. I love fail forward. The concept is phenomenal. I've been using it a lot lately, and just really, you know, coming to terms with the fact that, especially since he's going to college next year, he's accepted. He has weak study skills, and I might have to just really work on failing forward, the acceptance of that concept.
So what do you want to take aim on? What's the change you want to see?
The change I want to see for him to – he has a very difficult math region coming up for him to start to study more consistently for it.
So what's your role in that? So is it about helping him buy into that based on your last
Yeah, I've been working on that all year. but then actually him following
Is it supporting him through the process? Because I want you to take aim on something that's in your realm, right? And when our kids get to a certain age, you can't take aim on, I want him to pass a test, right?
Yeah, yeah. But what's a good question. What is within my realm?
Maybe it's championing him. Maybe it's supporting him in the process. Maybe it's, helping him take breaks. So, I don't know. Yeah.
I do all that. Take aim on. Okay, let me back up. And I hope I'm not taking too much time as I struggle with this.
Okay.
Helping him to identify what he needs to activate his brain.
Awesome.
So that he can follow through. Yeah.
That's brilliant. So the focus, the change you want to see is to help him see and understand what he needs to activate his brain.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Awesome. Who else wants to take aim today? Or is it easier?
Can you hear me?
Who is that? It may be easier for me to call on you, but whoever just said, can you hear me? Start with you.
Oh, yeah, it's Maya. I got on the call a little late.
Oh, Maya, welcome.
Thanks. So the question was taking aim, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So my son recently got admitted to a school that we've been trying to get him into all year. So I guess I'm trying to take aim. He's actually has to decide this week on helping him, I guess, come to the decision. And he's kind of reluctant to go because he doesn't want to lose his friends, although he knows it's probably better for him academically. They just have a lot more learning support for his ADHD than public school, where he's not really getting any, and they're not supporting his IEP. So it's like really
the bottom line for us. It sounds like you want to take aim on sort of feeling like you're including him in the decision about the school change.
Yeah, and just for him. Yeah, I mean, he isn't included, but he's kind of resisting it, and he just keeps talking about his friends and kind of, like, he did admit the other parts that are good for him. Like, he knows it will help him with his learning, and the support is much better.
So let me ask you a question.
is the decision made and it's about helping him feel good about it, or are you still trying to make the decision? Who's making the decision, him or you? If you're really honest, who's making the decision?
Well, both of us, but he's not cooperating.
Well, so, but that's, and I'm pushing you a little bit, but what I hear you saying is that you want him to agree with your decision to move his school.
Because it's better for him, you know, academically.
And just, you know, I'm sort of putting on my not coach but consultant hat, my biases. I think it's perfectly appropriate for us, when our kids are underage, to be the one that says, you know, ultimately this is our decision, but you want to bring him into the process so he feels as much ownership as possible. But I think I hear you saying he is moving schools. The question is, how do we make him feel good about it?
Yeah, well, it's nice to hear that it is ultimately our decision since he's 15. And he doesn't, you know, so yeah, I guess how to make him feel good about it and kind of get his buy-in.
Right. Right. Okay, so that's the play. The change you want to see is to really help him shift his perspective around the changing schools.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Anybody else? Who else?
I just want to say I came in late. This is Vilma from Cleveland, and I couldn't get on till recently, but I'm here.
Thank you. And I just want to say I think this may be one of the most crowded PSS calls we've ever had. So I apologize if I cut anybody short today. It's just in the interest of making sure everybody feels connected and engaged. And I'm really going to focus everyone on bottom lining today so that we can have some time to get into the content and the conversation around that. So I want to actually let's take everybody to take a minute to think about where you want to take aim. What's the change you want to see? And give yourself a minute to really think about it and bottom line it so I can go through and sort of capture it from everybody and see how we can move through that so we can move into the content. So I'm just going to go through the list and just ask you if you can sort of bottom line it. And if you don't know for sure, if you'll sort of give me permission to say, okay, that's okay to not take aim today. Let's move on just in the interest of making sure we get through the conversation. But if you have an idea, let's sort of capture that now, okay? So Jane, do you have a sense of where you want to take aim today?
I do.
I know you got a lot of issues.
I want to be, the change I want to see is to not irritate my son when when he goes to his therapy session, which will be the first one in 2 years to help with depression, and sometimes they ask for me to attend, and if I go, sometimes I'll say this, that, or the other, and he will get irritated. So I want to learn, and it happens in the house too, how to communicate without irritating him.
Awesome. Okay, so the focus is to communicate well without irritating.
Right.
Communicate better. Let's do that.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Andrea, what about you?
Sorry, I was muted.
That's okay.
I'm not quite sure, but I think I want to take aim on trying to see, how do I say this? Not to focus my thoughts more on the process of what's happening and not just look at the outcome.
Yeah. So really pay attention to the changes to, and this is like step two of the model, really get educated, get curious, get informed. Really focus on the process of what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Pamela, what about you?
I'm going to pass today.
Okay. You get a pass today. Amy, what about you?
I get a pass, too.
I'm starting a trend. Andrea.
I won't pass. I'll jump in. My thinking game today is focused around what we started the call off with about failing forward and getting my time to be more accepting of failures and that it's not the end of the world.
So, generally I want to be careful of taking aim on a strategy, right? So, but what I hear you saying is you want your son to be okay with making mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a great place to focus. Right, to accept that there's a human quality to making mistakes. Great. Sandy, what about you?
I think I'm talking low because of my location. I'm trying to work with each child to create like an incentive program of some sort for their fourth quarter.
An incentive program is a strategy. So the change is what?
I want to see is them to be really focused on handing everything in.
So you want to take aim on helping them hand in assignments?
Yeah, literally just getting them in.
Okay, that's great. Okay. Did I miss anybody else? I think I got everybody else and somebody.
Vilma?
No, I was going to say, Vilma, did I get you or no? You've just joined us. So.
I just joined you.
What are you taking aim on?
So, failing forward, my daughter in college, second year, is going to get a good grade in one course and fail another course.
Mm-hmm.
And I want her to learn from the failure what she did wrong in that one that she did right in the other one. So then the failing forward, the thing she's doing right now is bargaining with herself. Well, I did okay in one, so I can ignore the other one. And I want, how do I address this failing forward notion with her so she can learn from it.
So what I hear is that you want to help her learn from the successes and the challenge and the failures.
Yeah.
So learning from this, this last from her experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Got it. Great. Okay. I think we got everybody, and I think we're pretty much on time, which is pretty amazing. So thank you. And I'm sorry if anybody feels a little cut off today. It's funny because, sometimes it just, one call seems to be the one time everybody can meet in a week. So we're going to talk about failing forward. And obviously everybody's like familiar with it. And we've talked about it a million times in different ways. And you have some idea. It's interesting. I want to start by saying that when Diane and I first started working together, we come from two different coaching schools and different sort of philosophies on coaching. And we had a lot of debates on this issue of mistakes and failure and whether it was even okay to talk about it. Because there is one sort of philosophy in the coaching world that there are no mistakes and everything happens for a reason and everything is whole and nothing is broken. And we both subscribe to that view that we're all creative and resourceful and whole, and there's nothing broken. We just have to sort of work with what we've got and continue to work on improvement. But there is also a place for it's hard to learn from mistakes if you're not willing to accept or acknowledge that there was a mistake made in the first place. And I think a lot of people really struggle with this issue. A lot of people who have issues around control, perfection issues, excellence, achievement backgrounds, there's, you know, I know I was raised in a family where it just wasn't okay. You didn't make mistakes. You know, I would come home with a 98 on the test, and my dad would say, "What happened to the other 2 points?" You know, like it just, there was no room for anything but excellence and perfection. And that can put a lot of stress on us and on our kids and on our family dynamic. And it can make it really hard for us as, for our kids and for us as adults to be with the ups and downs, the natural cycles of life, right? Because things aren't always going to go the way we want them to go. And if we can't be with mistakes, I mean, you know, honestly, if you look at what's happening in our political system right now, whatever side of the aisle you're on, a big part of the problem is you get all these people in leadership and positions of power who aren't able to acknowledge that they are wrong or make a mistake about anything. And that has this cascading impact that can be pretty detrimental. So this is a really powerful concept because it is such an essential part of being human. Like the whole notion of human error, right? It's got that term for a reason because it's part of what defines us as humans. The scientific process is about testing and trying and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work and then tweaking it and trying it again. And if you can't make mistakes, you could never do research. You could never, we couldn't learn anything because learning, we learn through mistakes. We fall before, we crawl and fall before we walk. We babble before we talk. We don't do everything the right the first time. And to think that we would or should is really an unrealistic expectation. And yet so many of us carry that belief. So many of us walk into all different kinds of aspects of our lives and our work and our relationships with the sense that we're supposed to be perfect or excellent at everything. And, you know, you've all heard me talk about that our kids are specialists in a generalized world. And, you know, when you ask a specialist to be excellent at everything, you're going to get disappointed because they're not going to be excellent at everything. And the other way I like to think about this issue is I remember struggling with this issue with my husband many, many years ago when we were first starting in this coaching realm. And my husband is an adult with ADHD and has a lot of, you know, a lot of these issues of, you know, he had been an underachiever, didn't live his potential, you know, all of that stuff. And we had this conversation where I sort of looked at him, you know, tilted my head, cocked my head like a cocker spaniel and went, you know, a 90's still an A. You know that, right? And it was this sort of epiphany for both of us, like realizing that we look at, you know, it's not about A plus. Even a 90 is still an A. You know, like we forget to give ourselves credit for what is good or good enough. You know, Diane talks about GMO, good enough, move on, which is a concept we love to use in our work together. So the notion of failing forward comes sort of from that philosophy, if you will. If you are rustling papers or something, it's going to be with yourself. Mute yourself because I can't tell who's doing it. I think that caught it. So the notion of failing forward comes from this idea that it is human to make mistakes, that it is about accepting a significant part of who we are. And that I think a lot of us unwittingly, unintentionally create an environment in our homes where it's not okay to make mistakes. And that prevents our kids from learning from them. And it prevents us from learning from them. So the whole idea of failing forward is the notion that there's so much to learn. There is as much to learn from our mistakes as that there is from our successes. And that if we can stop avoiding them and start, you know, seeing them as the opportunity that they are, that's really where the juice is. And the structure I like to use around failing forward, and several of you have alluded to it already today, is, you know, to start with the question, what worked? What happened that was helpful, that was successful? Always start with that celebration and then look to say, and what didn't work? And then that allows you to then go to what would I do differently? And so that example you were just using, Vilma, with your daughter is a perfect opportunity for this, to say, okay, what worked
in this class that you did well in, and what didn't work in that class or the class you didn't do well in. And so how can you apply that? How can you map it over? How can you use it differently? But you always want to start with the opportunity, with the success first. And I'm going to stop and open it up to conversation to hear what you guys could. Clearly, many, many of you have already put a lot of thought into this. What's coming up for you in this conversation? I've got a couple of you muted. I'm going to unmute, but if I hear a lot of background noise, I'm going to mute you again. So just because there are a lot of people. But I've unmuted everybody now. So what's coming up?
Can I say something? This is Lisa. The thing about this, about, of course, learning from the mistakes, was that for years, and I guess it has to do with the brain, that my son would not learn from the mistakes over and over and over. And that was scary. And I didn't understand it. And sometimes therapists didn't understand it and wanted to almost suggest that it had to do with poor moral character, which is frightening.
Right.
And so
that's a great observation.
Really nice. You know, that it's very important to understand that it has to do with the neurological ADHD,
it absolutely does. And in fact, that's one of the characteristics now that they look at as an indicator that it could be something like ADHD. Like if a child is consistently not learning from mistakes, whether it's schoolwork or other, that's an indication that there's something else going on. So when we start with the understanding that it's really, really hard for them to learn from their mistakes, it becomes all the more important to really break it down for them, to raise the awareness, to help them see it, because they're not going to, generally when people learn from their mistakes, oftentimes they don't have to process it. They sort of get it and they absorb it and then they act differently. And with our kids and our community, we really have to, break it down and say, okay, what happened? You have to see it and really raise the attention to it, because otherwise the mistake is in the past and you're not thinking about it again and it's gone. And so it's not that they can't learn from the mistake. It's that they don't pause and pay attention to it long enough to learn from the mistake. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So who else? What else is coming up?
Yeah, can I throw something in there, Velma?
Uh-huh.
So since I have this wonderful model, two classes doing really well, one class not doing well, she knows exactly what she did. And I wonder if this is true for a lot of ADHD kids, is she found study buddies that she gets along
body
socially.
Doubles. Yep.
And they're people she chose.
Yep.
The body double thing, but not someone I choose. Not somebody who's hired. Someone she chose. So how can I transfer that to your next trigonometry class? Find a buddy. How do you choose people?
Well, I mean, I think you start by, so if you get curious and you have that conversation that says what worked, then it's not just that she had a study buddy, but what was it about that buddy that worked? What did you like about it? What made that buddy a good buddy for you? Right? So really, again, you have to help her pay attention to what she needs to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just a warm body, or maybe it is. For some people, it is. Sometimes it's a warm body. Sometimes it's a warm body who knows the material. Sometimes it's a warm body with a good sense of humor. Somebody, it's a warm body who also likes Coca-Cola and M&Ms at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know, who knows what it is? But helping her identify what made that person a good study buddy will help her find another good study buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, again, solutions are in the successes, right?
Yeah.
What else is coming up for people?
This is Jane. Oh, sorry.
No, Jane first, and then whoever the other person is trying to.
Maya.
Okay. Jane and then Maya.
Well, talking about the
the failing forward. So I noticed throughout the years that if my son failed at something, I tried to fix it and, like, make it that you're okay, everything's going to work out fine, and I would, like, take care of the whole problem and take care of whatever friend did this to him, like, whatever teacher did this. I would, like, try to smooth everything over and say it's all going to be okay. So, therefore, he didn't learn how to handle things himself. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, failing forward, he's got to learn to fail forward and know that it's okay.
And here's what I would offer, is there's still a role for you in it. But the role isn't to fix it. The role is to shed the light and pause things, slow things down enough for him to pay attention. And here's the kicker. Ready, everybody? Without shame. The
yes.
challenge is that they feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel like they're disappointing you. They feel like they should be able to, and if they can't, something's wrong, right? So that there's that, you know, you've heard me say it a million times, you got to make it matter of fact. Like, you got to take that moral judgment out of it and help them. And it's hard. This is the hard part, because they feel like they should be able to and they can't, and that feels bad. So acknowledging that it's hard when it doesn't go the way you want, and having compassion for that feeling is critical. But the key context to this process is to do it in a place with no shame and judgment, and which is hard. So Maya, what were you going to ask?
Well, I was just thinking about you know, the failing forward and how it related to, you know, my situation, and so I think if the goal is to help him shift his perspective with changing schools. the failing part would be perhaps that we, you know, chose this huge public school where he's not getting any support for his ADHD, and even though he really likes it because of his friends, that's the reason he really wants to stay. If he could understand perhaps about the learning center, I hear some screaming. If he could understand better about, like, the learning center and, you know, how it would support him at the other school, then perhaps he would, you know, it would help shift his perspective.
So,
does that make sense?
Here's what I want to – it does. Here's what I want to caution you, is that there's a difference between getting buy-in and convincing, right? So you want to use rational logic based on what you think is important to convince him to see the value of it. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, we've tried that, and it doesn't seem to be working.
Right. So the question I would ask you is, what's in it for him? How will it make his day better? How will it make his life better? Because he's not looking at, ooh, there's a resource center, and that's going to be really good for me. But if there's a resource center and they understand how he works, is he going to have less homework? Is he going to have less upsets in the evening? Is he going to have, is he going to feel really good about his learning? Like, what's the value to him in his life of what it's going to be? Because otherwise you're just going to be in a game where you're trying to convince him to agree with you. And at
mm-hmm.
some point, you know, it's, as I said earlier, it's fair to say, this is the decision. We're going to do everything we can to help you find the joy in it, feel good about it, you know, and you may have to get to that point. But before that, if you're really focusing on buy-in, buy-in comes from looking at it through his eyes, not yours.
Right. So
yeah.
Just to go back to, yeah, it is fair to say ultimately it's our decision because, you know, like, he does know people there, and it's just better for his education, which he doesn't, I don't know, he partly gets, but he's just kind of balking at that and just keep going back to the friend thing. And he's not going to lose his friends because we're not moving, and he can still see them at the mall, and he can still see them at football games. And,
right, of course.
You know, so,
yeah.
But it is fair to say, listen, I mean, you know, we've got this amount of money and this, you know, clearly the learning center, everybody we speak to says the learning center is really going to help you and you're not getting any support now. So, I mean, we can make that decision, right, even if he's going to be pissed, really pissed for a long time.
Well, and you can there's a lot of conversations, and my, I guess I would encourage you, if you're willing to potentially even have a private conversation, a private coaching session around how do you have the conversation with him, because I think it's more than we could deal with in this. But I would say, I guess the answer to your question is, I mean, with a 15-year-old kid, is it reasonable for a parent to say, look, this is about your education, and at the end of the day, we have to make the decision that we think is best. I think that's a reasonable position to take, and I think there's a way to do it where he won't be pissed at you forever, you know? But you do have to, but there's a lot of nuance to that conversation, and the more you can sort of bring him into, really ask, help him identify what would work for him and why it's good for him, the easier it will be to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And okay. I think it's reasonable to sort of take the sailing forward into, we feel like we tried something and we learned from it, and there were some good things to it because you got to meet all of these kids and now you have this great friend base. But what didn't work was that you weren't getting the support you need academically. And so what we're going to do moving forward, we really need to make sure that you're getting not just your social life managed in high school, but also your education. So you could actually do the failing forward with yourself. Here's what worked, here's what didn't work, and here's where we see it needs to go and why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I think he'll understand that.
I think
that's okay.
Good.
And I am willing to, you know, I don't know, talk to you afterwards or do a private coaching session, but we'll talk about that later.
If you feel like it would be helpful, we're happy to talk you through it. But there's definitely some nuance to this.
Yeah, yes.
So who else has some thoughts or input, or like what's coming up for you around this notion of failing forward? What's useful about it and what's hard about it?
Hey, this is Amy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's hard about it is the consequences seem bigger, and I hate to shit on myself, but that's not really it. I guess I wish I would have known this earlier, like when Ian was younger. I think I get sad sometimes because my intention was to try and support him and help him and help compensate for what my gut instinct, even before he had a diagnosis, was telling me. This is a good kid who's really, really trying hard. This isn't his fault. But I kind of, I don't know. So now, you know, at 16, I don't want him to lose this really awesome job that he got because, you know, by making mistakes with managing the scheduling or certain things, you know. So it's like, how do we start doing it when they're older, when they're at that age, you know?
So here's what's coming up, because I think you raise a brilliant question, and you know, it's true. I mean, there is a part, like a woman asked a question last night, and she was saying how sad she was. And, you know, there's a point where we do have to sort of mourn the loss of what we've done. And those three words that can change your life are up until now, right? Here's where you are now. And so what comes up for me is there an opportunity for you to fail forward with him around this issue? Right? Like, here's what I feel like I did well as a parent, and here's what I feel like I missed, and I'm really, really sorry. And I don't want you to miss this opportunity based on that, and therefore this is how I'm trying to help you. I'm just sort of making it up. But do you know what I'm saying? Does that resonate at all?
That resonates huge, and we've actually had that conversation, I think maybe multiple times, but as recently as last night, I was freaking out about my overwhelm, and he's like, Mom, the house is fine. You do the best you can. I get it. It's all good. We're learning this. We're learning how to do this together.
Look at him. That's awesome.
I know. I'm like, what? Okay.
So here's my challenge to you, Amy, is to have the conversation again when you're not freaking out.
Okay, yeah.
And when you're not in overwhelm.
Okay.
Right? To do it again from a place of calm and clarity. You know,
2 weeks
so that
now.
You're not well, but so that you're actually learning from it and not just apologizing. And not that there's anything wrong with apologizing. But I don't want you to go down that rabbit hole of I could have and I should have. It's like, but you know what? Here's where you are now. What can we learn from where we are and what we know so that we can make better choices tomorrow than we did yesterday? That's what feeling forward is about. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it lets go of the whole poor me. And we all need to have a little space for poor me, okay? I mean, I don't know if you've ever read the tip I wrote on poor baby, but my daughter taught me something really profound when I was trying to help her through something. She was a teenager, and she looked at me and she said, Mom, I just need you to say poor baby. Like, okay, I got it. You know, we all need a little poor baby. And then you got to sort of wipe yourself off and wipe your hands off and go, okay, here's where we are now. What do I do from here? And so this applies as much to our kids learning to fail forward from their choices and mistakes and awareness as we do. And you know what? Sometimes we're not failing from a mistake we've made. Sometimes we failed to provide what our kids needed because we didn't know any better. I know I can say that 100%. I failed to provide my oldest daughter with the supports and the structures she needed as a young child. I had no clue what I was supposed to do. And I did the best I could in that environment. And now I can tell you what I did right, what I didn't do right, what I do differently now. So it's not that I made a mistake. It's that the circumstances were such that, you know, I did the best with what I could. And it wasn't, you know, there were times where it wasn't good enough. You know? But it was still the best I could do. Does that resonate for people? Is that helpful for people?
Very helpful.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, I think it's very helpful. And also, you know, maybe if the kids see that the parents didn't know any better, you know, also made the mistake, then they can see that they're not perfect and no parents aren't perfect either.
Exactly. Right.
Well, you know what's really helped in that regard is that she knows I'm on these coaching sessions now.
Yeah. Mhm.
And she's so grateful. Oh.
Is she?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, it's here's where we are now. I might not have done this right before, but Mom, you're really trying, and I can really tell. Oh.
Wow. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah. That is.
So I want to give us some time for closure today, because there's a lot of I can hear all your brains clicking away, right? Not just the keyboards, but there's a lot of processing happening here. So take a minute with the closing questions we usually ask, right? What were you focusing on today? What are you taking away? What's your aha? And is there a commitment to action that you want to make? And if so, how can you set yourself up for success with it? Is anybody still there? I just got really quiet. Yeah. Okay. Well, I muted one person and all of a sudden it went silent. Pamela, I've got you muted, so I'll unmute you in a minute, but there's a lot of background noise. So what'd you focus on? What's your takeaway? What's your commitment? And how can you be successful with that? So, for example, if I can use that example, who I lost who I was just talking to, I think it was Amy, about, you know, having the conversation again, but doing it from a place where you're not triggered, right? That could be an example of setting yourself up for success. So let's take some time to really take away from today's conversation what you're learning from it and what you want to do with this information. And anybody who wants to share, I'm not going to call on people. I'm just going to let you share when you're ready. Except for Pamela, I'm going to unmute you for a minute.
I can go. It's Vilma.
Who's that? Vilma, go for it.
It's Vilma. Yeah. It's once again to hear to that you have to, in a conversation about anything, not only be totally clear and non-judgmental, but break it down into more and more elements.
Yeah.
That kind of lead the questioning, you know, not the answers, but just how to break it down so you ask more and more questions.
Yeah.
Because of the brain thing.
Yeah. So not just do you have a study buddy, but what makes it a good study buddy? Is that the example you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And is it the study buddy? You know, is it
mm-hmm.
her or is it a study buddy? And then just keep breaking it down so that
yeah.
it doesn't turn into, oh, let's discuss a problem, but this is,
yeah,
you know, and then the idea that this is where we are now. You know, it's not a place of any kind other than, hey, it is what it is.
Right. Right. And what do you do with this moving forward?
Yeah. yeah. You know, how do you understand what it is so that we
yeah.
can move forward?
Great. Is there a commitment you want to make, or is that sort of good for you?
Oh, yeah. This is after exams are done.
yes.
When discussing what course to take next.
Say that again. I'm sorry. There's some background noise. Say it again. After exams
yeah,
are done.
After exams are done and relaxation has set in, and as she's discussing, you know, thinking about what course to sign up for next, then we can have that discussion in terms of, you know, in that context.
Great.
Not
I love that.
Saying what went wrong, but in the context of next step.
Can I offer something that you know, I have a daughter in college as well, that we had a really major aha in January when she was signing up for her classes. Because she's a math science kid who has dyslexia and struggles a lot with reading and writing.
Yeah,
and,
I got the same thing.
You got that, right? And so what we discovered in this conversation, because she during drop ads, was that she cannot take more than one reading-writing class in a semester. She can take
mm-hmm.
more than one science class, but she cannot take more than
mm-hmm.
one reading-writing class. She only has a limited capacity or a certain capacity for how much she can actually read and write, you
uh-huh.
know, and deliver. And
uh-huh.
so she has learned that she needs to space out her courses because, you know, the required social sciences and all those others, she can't take more than
yeah.
one a semester.
Yeah.
And that was a great thing for her to learn. Right.
Yeah.
So, and there's
yeah.
nothing wrong. There's no judgment or shame in it. It's just she just
mm-mm.
like that's what her thing is. Now, if I tried
yeah.
to take two science classes in a semester, I would fail both of them.
you know. Yeah. Me too.
so it just depends on the kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
good,
great.
Good.
Thank
good
you.
Thought.
Who else?
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else has to, wants to share an aha or a commitment or?
I'll go. This is Maya. I think I had a really good aha that this is about your education. That's what you were saying. And, you know, I have to kind of refocus myself that even though he's being, you know, argumentative and angry and defiant and all of the above, it really is about his education. And so, you know, I could also say we didn't know any better, like you were saying, like bring myself into it. And like you said, what works at the public high school is you've made a lot of friends, but what didn't work is there hasn't been any support for your class, and we're just kind of at a crossroads. So, you know, it is what it is, but we have to go to the, you know, the private school because it's about your education, and then, you know, take it from there.
Great. Awesome. Can I offer something to you? Try to avoid
yes.
using the word but. not kidding you. Because as soon as you say, you know, what worked was that you got all these friends in public school, but it didn't support your school, but sort of negates the positive. So what worked was you got all these things in public school. And when we look at what didn't work, da-da-da-da-da. And I know it's a really subtle distinction, but it makes a big difference, but can really put people on the defensive.
Okay, and then also the other thing is just to say, like, what's in it for you, you know, just to bring him into it. But he's just a real power kid, and so I want him to feel like he has some power. That's
agreed.
The thing I'm struggling with.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that because I think you're right on target there. So, who else?
Hey, this is Amy, just real quick about the but and the and. Mm-hmm. I actually, a company I worked for, we did corporate training, and we did a whole training thing around but and and. I had like hundreds of mugs with but on one side and on the other side.
You are kidding me.
So,
I want one.
No. I know. I wish I still had some. It was a few years ago, but it is very, very powerful, and I won't get into it now, but the but replacing that, like consciously replacing that with and, makes a huge difference.
There's an article on the site called Yes And, it comes from the world of improv, so you'll look it up. And I will tell you, because, you know, my husband and I are both coaches, my kids have been known to say to us, you're saying and, but you really mean but.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not, you have to really mean it. You know, you have to really mean it. Because they'll catch you if you don't. Who else? What other ahas? Amy, do you have an aha?
Sorry. My kid just got home from school. Hang on, I'm going to come back. You can come back to me.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hi.
What other takeaways or ahas do you have?
This is Andrea, and I was thinking when everyone was talking about I can look at this as also like flipping it and saying succeeding forward, like trying to, because like you were saying, you know, they have a hard time taking the time to reflect on what happened, and just like they don't learn from their failures, they don't see what happened. They don't learn from the success either. So,
awesome point.
Learning how to point out the successes so they can go forward.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. You may see that show up in an article somewhere. That's brilliant. That's great. So any commitment for you?
I think, that's what I'm going to work on is because I have a hard time seeing the successes as well. So just trying to focus on
highlighting successes. Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Well, you know, and you can write it down and put it up on your wall somewhere, but success breeds success.
Yes.
And the solutions are always in the successes, y'all, always.
Right.
So great. Thank you. Who else? Jane, Pamela, anybody else?
This is Lisa. I don't really have an aha, so I don't know if I can comment. Again, this is my second.
That's okay.
Comment.
You can, whatever you want.
Okay. I have been, because of my profession, and I know a great deal about ADHD. I've studied it for years. I work with kids with it. Now I have an 18-year-old who I knew from the time he was two, had ADHD, and he's adopted from birth. But my challenge has always been, because I have always been, let's just support your effort, your best effort. That's it. You know, never into failure. I've always done really naturally how one should support someone like my son. And, but he was, to this day, still has difficulty sharing his feelings about his experience. So that's what I find the most challenging. How do I support someone who really still doesn't want to talk a lot about anything.
Yeah.
So that's all I want to say. So that's why I keep searching. This is, I've already done family school. I'm from the Northeast, and I attended a coaching program, a parenting coaching program because of my profession, with Cindy Goldrich, who is big out here in the Northeast.
Yeah.
I have done so much work over the years to find how to reach him, and still a work in progress, and it's just really hard.
So you know what's coming up for me as you're saying that, and thank you for sharing that, is that what you've just identified is another place for you where you really want to take aim. And
oh God,
what I hear is that you want to take aim on how do you, like, you may have a kid who's just not a talker, you know?
Yeah.
He's not going to be an emotive, you know, maybe it's a boy, maybe it's the ADD, maybe it's something else, but that may not be how he expresses it. So maybe the place to look is how do you help him sort of deal with the emotions or the feelings or make the connection, and maybe it's not about talking. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Be open to how else does, you know, or maybe the question is, how does he process his emotions? Because he's doing it somehow. And so get curious about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? I know we're over time, but I want to give anybody who wants to share a chance to sort of close out. Who else? Andrea, Sandy, Pamela, Maya, Jane, anybody?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, this is Jane, and I wanted to say that I wanted to remember those three words up until now because I'm really good at beating myself up what I did wrong when he was younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that.
And to also remember to look for what worked. I like that. So there are my takeaways and a commitment to
follow through. Yeah. Great. That's a simple commitment, but powerful. Thank you for that. I'm going to follow through. Anybody else?
This
is
Sandy.
I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but go for it, Sandy.
Haley, no, I'm very similar, really. I'm kind of dittoing what she just said in terms of looking for the positive on what worked. And that kind of supports your, you know, success breeds success. And I guess that life happens for you, not to you. So somehow, I'm always thinking, why is this happening to me or why is this happening to us? But somehow there's a lesson there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and it happens in little steps. It's little pieces, I think, over time.
Right, and to recognize that maybe this is a step happening.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Well, you know, I was talking to this group last night, and I started the talk by talking about celebration, you know, and celebrate the victories large and small. And I, when my kids were little, I celebrated the smallest, most ridiculous things. Because it was something to focus on that was working. I was on this thing with Kids in the House. There was this video live thing just about an hour ago. And one of the things that Dr. Jerry Schultz was talking about, or one of the videos they were talking about, was the number of negative messages that our kids get in an hour, in a day. I couldn't even remember what the statistic was. It was so excessively high. And so to sort of balance that in even the slightest way by paying attention to the successes is really powerful.
Wow, that's interesting. My daughter just saying that the other day, like, you know, all I'm hearing is what I'm not doing right. And, you know, you don't even realize you're saying that.
And it's not just us. They're getting it from everywhere. They're getting it from everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. She's definitely being compounded. But I think also you don't even realize how they're interpreting it. You might not have intended that at all. but they, you know, sometimes it's how they interpret.
It's so much. I just had, yes, it is so much about, it's not what we say, it's what they experience and what they hear that really matters.
Yeah, especially when you're depressed. It's
yeah,
really
exactly.
a challenge.
Yeah. So anyone else want to share an aha or a commitment? Andrea, Pamela, anybody else? Maya? Maya, we got you. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. So, is somebody going to say something?
Well, I do have one more question. If you,
what's
yeah,
that?
It's Maya. So we talked about, you know, what I was going to say, and then there was one school. So it's a choice between two schools, but one is like far superior with the learning center. And then I was trying to decide if I should even like bring up the other school and have him go see it. I mean, that one you don't need to apply to. It's just like it's just a private school with, you know, a very small class sizes, and kids go there and take like one class and leave, or there's international students. And that one he could also go to, but it's just not as cohesive and social, which is, you know, what he really likes. So I'm debating
if I should bring up
the other one.
So here's what I would say is I don't think that we can answer that effectively right now, not accurately or well for you. But that's an interesting question to post on the forum, and let's see if there's some conversation there that might be helpful for you. Is that fair?
Okay, yeah. But I have to decide, like, in 2 days.
Yeah, well, so go post it now and see what kind of conversation you can generate. But I just think we were doing it short shift to try to address it here right now.
Okay.
Because we really need to close the call. I mean, we're a little over time, but I really want to acknowledge everyone who's here, and because this is a powerful conversation and a difficult conversation, because we're talking about our kids and ourselves and failure and mistakes and successes, and there's just it's rich and full of a lot of great stuff, but it's also got a lot of baggage with it. So I just want to remind you as you leave forward from today to be gentle with yourself and forgive yourself for whatever you didn't know and for whatever mistakes you may have made, and, you know, learn from them, fail forward, succeed forward. But stay in that place of what there is to learn from it, instead of the blame and the shame and the judgment that we tend to get stuck in. So, and if you struggle with that and it's hard for you to pull yourself out of that place, get some support, get some help, whether it's with us or using a forum or a therapist or coaching, whatever it is. When you see yourself getting stuck in that place, ask for help. Because it's not serving you, and it's not serving your kids to get mired in that place of beating yourself up. And on that note, I'm going to say I love you guys, and you're amazing, and you're doing really hard work, and you're reaping the benefits, and your kids are reaping the benefits. And thanks for being part of the process with us. Have a great week, everyone.
Okay, do you need me to stay online for you to, you know, take care of the housekeeping?
Yeah, would you let me just turn off the recording?